In our post-boomer, new millennial era, the sentiment of "it's all about me" and "get all you can, they owe you" seems to be rampant, not only in the secular circles, but it even creeps in circles of faith, folks seeming to forget Christ's sentiments expressed by Paul in Acts, where it says, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Still another time, Paul focuses on our attitude for giving from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. "Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." And then there is a letter in which we find our text for today, written to Timothy, with Paul expressing gratitude for what Timothy has done as he closes his letter. You will note that there is a shift in his tone, however. Paul has grown tired and seems to be having one of those end-of-life accountings of one who, for the most part, was in service to God for the sake of others. Paul is coming to the end of his life as a giving tree. From 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 18 in part. "For I am already being poured out, and the last drops of this drink offering are all that remain. It's almost time for me to leave. I've fought the good fight, I've stayed on course and finished the race, and through it all I have kept believing. I look forward to what's in store for me, the crown of righteousness that the Lord, the always right and just judge, will give me on that day. But it's not only for me, but for all those who love and long for his appearing. Come to me, Timothy, as you can. Luke is the only one left. Bring Mark with you because he is useful in this work and will help look after me, for everyone has abandoned me. May it not be held against them." Now here in the text, Paul lists all those folks who've left him, and after all that he'd given them and taught them, they were not there for him in the end. So he continues, "All have left me except the Lord. He stood by me, strengthened me, and backed the truth I proclaimed with power so it may be heard by all. He rescued me, and I know the Lord will continue to rescue me from every trip, trap, snare, and pitfall of evil and carry me safely to his heavenly kingdom. May he be glorified throughout eternity. Amen." Paul, Christ's late coming apostle, was looking at his life's work and balance as well as his relationships. And he learns a big lesson that truly the only perfect relationship is the one he has fostered with God, for God's creatures often fall short. Paul's disappointment in others is not understated. Paul was a disciple of Christ and found that all the tea in China and all the apples in the orchard could not replace the love and fulfillment of time spent with the ultimate giver, God. Now, Silverstein's Giving Tree, the children's book I read earlier in the children's message, seems to be a godly disciple as well. She learned, she loved, and she gave, right down to her trunk and roots. In many ways, it reminds me of the parable of the prodigal son, in which we see a similar storyline. Selfish, needy, and all-about-me character takes and takes and takes with a spirit of entitlement from his giving tree. And all of these stories, from Paul's to the giving tree to the prodigal, we see the lopsided likelihood and nature of relationships. In these stories, the simplified primary focus on unconditional love seems to go like this. Do whatever you want, take whatever you want, because I'll always be here waiting to forgive and accept you back into my arms, or in my branches, or on my stump. Yes, if read without the lens of Christ, but instead with a North American consumer lens, the message can be skewed and the lessons learned dangerous. One of the biggest flawed lessons through skewed interpretation is that unconditional love is the same as unconditional giving. The gift is in the giving without limitations or expectations of the taker is not healthy. It is not good. It skews reality as if the only purpose of the giver is to give. And through some shady mathematics, the taker is actually somehow serving the giver by readily receiving without ever giving something in return. This worldview churned and turned into behavior left unchecked has some terrible fallout, in particular the lacking development of any level of empathy. You know, the inability to step outside of self to see the bigger picture, which includes the needs of others. The legacy of this lesson leaves the taker without the eyes to see the big cues and shift in our storyline. The tree gave. The tree was happy. Yet each time giving came a growing sense of sadness, a shorter-lived happiness, and eventual full-blown sad. there was a turn because there was no true balance, and we get mad at the boy often for failing the tree, but in reality, the tree failed the boy. For the boy grows not into a generous and fulfilled adult, but one that has confused commodity with happiness. My guest, just as a boy could not find happiness in things, those in his life couldn't find happiness in his things either. At the close of the story, he finds his way back to the benevolent stump alone, and then only does he realize that he is blessed by his relationship with the tree versus the things the tree could give him. Well, we hope. We hope that in the long run, the lessons we learn from and offer those we love will bring us the knowledge that in the giving and the receiving, empathetic, loving relationships will grow. Living and loving as God intended in his cyclical creation. The life of relationships not unlike the life of a tree. Even God didn't leave it at just giving. Accountable returns are laid out for us throughout Scripture. The joy and appreciation of life and gifts we have been given are to be returned to God through our gifts to love and care for others. It is not just about receiving grace and forgiveness and love. It is about giving it as well. Flowing like a figure eight, the figure eight assigned for infinity, reinforces this sustainable, loving system. If it stops at simply receiving, it falls short. It is stymied. Imagine if Shel Silverstein's story stopped at the felling of the tree without the return of the boy to sit on the tree stump. The cycle, the story of the cycle would be incomplete. Sadly, it is a reality often in this world. We promote, we sell, we encourage the taking, the using up for self without mentioning gratitude or an act of compassionate return. We become a society of takers. And know this. This society of takiness has then distorted the world of the giver as well. You know, the giver knowing that the folks are motivated by selfish gain and fulfillment, then twists the spirit of the giving into, what will I gain if I give? Price tags seem to be left on the gift box with the sentiment, well, they'll know how much they owe me for this one. Coerced commodity exchange versus compassionate exchange of commodity. It has affected how many of those around us, my goodness, all of us, really give and take. How often we hesitate to be beholden to anyone or to hold anyone too closely for fear of not getting or keeping that which we want. This way of thinking has deeply impacted the church and the concept of purpose and belief in God, especially God's Son, Jesus. How? Well, look around, not just here, but in many churches. There is a two-pronged problem here, as laid out in today's featured story and scripture, which comes from a flawed understanding that the primary purpose of Christ is to give us, one, life eternal, aka save us from eternal damnation, and that the purpose of Christ is to give us, two, what we want to be happy while we bide our time waiting for our exit to heaven. The lesson from the ultimate giving tree, Christ on a cross, would be lost if we believed that the only purpose for Christ is his gift of dying on the tree. It would be as lopsided as the story of the giving tree if the boy had never come back to dwell where the tree once flourished. Yet that is what many Christians have turned the purpose of faith and the experience of faith community into. What I get out of it paired to how little do I actually have to give. From fire insurance to fine china, all for the low, low cost of a fish emblem on your bumper or a cross around your neck. What is left is a legacy of commerce with a heavy peppering of greed and self-preservation, generationally diluting the good news as we go along and losing the ultimate purpose and truth of its intent, external exchange of love and care for other. Glorifying the giving of the giving tree and ignoring the lesson that can be learned from the overtaking, well, it's unhealthy. We need each other and must be willing to be vulnerable enough to let folks swing on our branches, but wise enough and loving enough to occasionally fill our apple basket with their gifts. Over the past few weeks, we've been thumbing through Paul's second letter to Timothy. In it, we have heard Paul express thanksgiving for the life of Timothy and those who taught him well. We know that Tim is devoted to not only the teachings passed down, but in the living lessons as well as passing the lessons on to others. The life cycle is outlined. Part of his inner relationships is his with Paul, and Paul has taught and cared for Timothy And now it's Tim's time to do the same. You get this, right? There has to be give and take for mutually beneficial exchange and relationship. Human body, trees, shoot, any environmental system to be healthy and sustainable. If it is all about taking, then the lesson of legacy and altruism and compassion is lost. If it is all about giving, then eventually the well does run dry, and generally bitterness can and does arise, and the tree is unhappy. Yet if each element is rooted in a faith that foundationally teaches the balance, the give and take will flow. We learn this in family. We learn this as a faith family when we gather regularly and we study and we live and give and gratefully receive from one another. When we come back to the tree, we come not just to take, but to share. Sharing not only from our gifts, but the gift of our example. Now this Sunday, we observe All Saints Sunday. Therefore, in the spirit of the Giving Tree and its lessons, we will consider the giving trees in our lives, the gifts given, the lessons learned, and the art of becoming giving trees to others.